Gage County Board of Supervisors will call to order at 8:51. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held March 21st, 2012. Approve all claims through April 4th in the amount of $253,004.94. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve clerk of district court summary fee report, register a deed fee report for the month of March. Approve permit number 902 and 903 for Roars Machinery, Inc. to place a buried electric line under County Road in Southwest Quarter Section 2, Northwest Quarter Section 11, Highland Township, and to place buried water line under County Road in Southwest Quarter Section 16, Northeast Quarter of Section 21, Elm Township. Approve specs and call for bids on used 206 or newer tandem axle dump truck.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Dave, you're up. Dave Merrill and C.J. Johnson.
Usually I'll start.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good. My name is C.J. Johnson. I'm the regional administrator with Region 5 Systems. Dave and I always travel together just to give county commissioners and county supervisors a sense of the differences in the two organizations. Region 5 Systems is responsible for the behavioral health services in southeast Nebraska, the public behavioral health services, both substance abuse and mental health services. We contract with 12 different agencies. However, Blue Valley Behavioral Health is the primary agency that provides the services in the rural counties. And then the remaining agencies provide a number of services in Lancaster County, and many of those are residential services. If you go to page 9, I'm just going to walk you through the annual report a little bit. One of the other aspects that we are responsible for is the emergency protective custody coordination in southeast Nebraska. Just as a reminder, that emergency protective custody occurs when law enforcement encounters someone who is having an acute mental health crisis, are dangerous to themselves or others, and law enforcement feels that they need to place them on an EPC, and at that time they transport them to the crisis center in Lancaster County. The crisis center is operated by Lancaster County at the Community Mental Health Center, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I just want to share with you, a number of years ago we did a number of things to help law enforcement in this process. First of all, we created crisis response teams for the rural law enforcement officers, because many times they were encountering somebody who was having a mental health crisis. They didn't really know what to do, but they did not feel the person was truly dangerous to themselves or others, but they still ended up placing that person on an EPC and having to drive them to Lincoln. So now we have a crisis line where when they do encounter that situation, they call that 1-800 number, and we send out a therapist and an emergency community support worker to the law enforcement site to work with that individual and law enforcement to try and avert having that EPC placed. Since we've done that, we've seen a 50% decrease in rural EPCs, so it's been quite successful. We are trying in Richardson County to actually do that process through Skype, and we're going to see if that works through the computer system and just using computers to have that contact and sort through what needs to be done. So
you can probably tell I'm sitting here with a question.
Sure.
When you help negotiate the billing and all that, is there any way you can step into the juvenile end of it? I mean, the juvenile expenses are tremendous.
I have no say in that right now, because youth are not truly placed on an EPC. Okay, they are placed under temporary state wardship, and so we don't have any direct influence on that at all.
Okay.
That would be...
I think we had a bill for, what, 40 grand not very long ago?
Yeah, that would be specifically with Lancaster County in relation to the attention center there.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Yeah, I was hoping.
So,
well, the state legislature has tried to deal with that on a number of occasions, yeah, dealing with that issue and who's going to pay and who isn't and who's responsible and... But it's really been a tough one. That's been hard.
Yeah. The only thing I might suggest in relation to that, because of all the issues related around child welfare reform and everything, it may be, if there's a solution that somebody can think of or how to do that differently, it probably would be a good time to be talking to a senator about maybe introducing something or looking at that. Because the child welfare piece is really up in the air right now, quite
it
honestly.
It is.
Which I'll also talk about in a minute. I also want to share that we did create a 800 number for law enforcement, so when they do place somebody on an emergency protective custody hold, they simply call that 800 number and are directed as to where to take that individual, whereas in the past, the law enforcement themselves had to call around looking for a bed space for somebody. Lancaster County does foot that entire bill to pay for that 24/7 line annually, which in some ways makes sense. They have 82% of all our EPCs that occur, but it's helpful to all the rural law enforcement as well. If you go to page 15, I'd like to talk about our Family and Youth Investment Program. This is a children's service that is provided. It provides wraparound to children who have serious emotional disturbances and their families. In relation to the child welfare reform that's been going on, 3 years ago, Annette Dubas out of Fullerton introduced a bill to try and expand these FYI programs. It was a $20 million tab, and a lot of people thought that was going to be too much to invest in these. I do want to say that these programs take on youth who have higher risk scores than all the state wards right now. And the goal is to keep children from becoming state wards and keep them in their homes. And this program is extremely successful. 95% of all the youth that go through this program stay in their homes. They are not made state wards. And in looking over the last couple of years at all the additional money that it's cost for the child welfare reform, that $20 million would have been an incredible investment 3 years ago to have actually expanded these programs to continue to try and prevent youth from becoming state wards. If you go to page 17, we are also responsible for regional prevention coordination. Every county has a prevention coalition in its county. They receive grant funding both through us, the state, and sometimes federal grant funding. Their primary focus is to promote substance abuse prevention amongst adolescents in each of the counties. They do a number of activities throughout the year. The Red-White game coming up, we'll see a large activity where several hundred youth show up. They do an annual leadership conference at Peru State College that was just recently held. They do a June Jam up in Milford where a couple hundred youth show up. And through all this, they're learning ways to work with their fellow classmates in their schools to help prevent substance use. Just a little side note, the Youth Action Board does give out grants themselves, and they were having a meeting during the first Nebraska weekend where we had a home game, and they realized our parking lot, which is downtown, was empty. And so they approached us to see if they could actually charge for parking space on the weekends of the games, and subsequently earned just between $4,000 and $5,000 during the course of the season to continue to promote these activities. The cool thing about it was when they would tell people why they're there, a lot of people gave additional donations to the activities that they're doing. So that's a great thing. And finally, if I can have you go to page 23. With the safe haven issues that came up a couple years ago, we received some money to help support preventing youth from becoming state wards. The first thing we did was created this LINCS program, which we first made available to all county attorneys when a family would come to them saying that they felt like they had to make their child a state ward to receive services. Upon referral to the LINCS program, a therapist works with the family, does a complete evaluation, looks at community resources, and tries to hook that family up with resources in their community. If they aren't able to do that, the family is not able to do that on their own, then we actually will assign a professional partner to work with that family for up to 3 months to help them obtain those resources and look for them. And then subsequently, if we feel they need support longer, we'll put them in our traditional professional partner program, which can work with them for a couple years if necessary. Again, this program has been extremely successful. All the families that have approached this program were in line to make their children state ward, and only 4% of all the youth that actually came through this program ended up becoming state wards. And I always have to point out that the majority of those youth were actually already involved in juvenile court in some way or another, and we just couldn't avert the process. So it's been extremely successful. On the back page is the county contribution match. Again, I always want to point out that Lancaster County, although they have 62% of the population, contributes 72% of the required match. The governor did just sign a bill that represented a 1.5% increase for behavioral health services. So for Gage County, that translates into a $486 increase in mental health to $32,913. And an $88 increase in substance abuse to $5,921. And I can answer any questions.
Looks like you did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
No questions for CJ, huh?
I guess they're saving them for you.
Okay.
I'm Dave Merrill with Region 5 Services. We provide direct supports to people who experience developmental disabilities. And so, and we have a program here in Beatrice, and Joanne will give you the local report on that. I have to take this moment to tell you how grateful we are for Dennis Byers and his work on the governing board as the chair, but also what he brings to the table is he's one of the nationally known people in our field for advocacy and understanding of issues for people who experience developmental disabilities, and we're really grateful for that. So thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
I'll turn you to the page 2, and you'll see that Region 5 Services, we've continued to grow, and we'll have a new report coming out, and that's why you have the loose page for the Crete Beatrice thing, because that will be in the new report. We're dealing with cancer in our office, and we're trying to support somebody as they work through that, and so we're a little behind on the annual report. We understand why, and it will be something that should be temporary. If you turn to the number of people served, we're right around 950 people, somewhat of a duplicated count in Lincoln. I also included the white papers for the state of Nebraska so that you'd understand that 950 families choose us out of 4,800 people who receive supports throughout the state. So it's about a seventh of all the people who receive supports in the state, and there are somewhere between 30 and 40 certified providers. So we're pleased that so many people choose us. We have the number of staff and the positive indicators of success. You'll see that we're focusing on measuring and improving the number of people that we support who own their own homes, and we were up to 21 last year, and the number of people who rent their own homes was 180. The purpose of that is we want for people in the communities to value the people who experience disability and the role of homeowner and property taxpayer is a valued role in our communities. And the more people see people with disabilities playing those valued roles, the more valued people will become. That's also tied to the employment. All those 215 people have jobs that are directly paid by someone in the community. We don't count contract work. We don't count any work crews where we might be paid and pay the individual. Those are actual jobs. On the funding side, you'll see it's gone up as our numbers have gone up, the number of people we support. And the bulk of that increase has been federal funding over the years. This coming year, we will have a flat rate for the second year in a row, which will be the third year of delivering services being paid the same rate. What we try to do in Region 5 is, as more people choose our services, we spread our fixed costs, things like my salary, over more people. That allows us to meet the increased cost of health insurance and fuel and other things along the way, and that's kind of our philosophy and the way it's worked. We were pleased that the governor did not line item veto the waiting list funds that were included this year, and in the white papers, it shows that there are about 1,700 people that are waiting for services that are eligible, and you want to talk about your level playing field in terms of equalization. How about people who are receiving supports and folks who are not, and they're all equally eligible, and people have been waiting since April 2008. Anybody remember April 2008? My granddaughter hadn't started school yet, and now she's a fourth grader. So it's one of the things that we're really pleased that we'll be able to at least make a dent.
I've got a question. You say eligible. What constitutes, or how do they become eligible, or what any? I mean,
it has to do that when you're over age 21, you're eligible for. And you experience a developmental disability, and it's a federal definition, and that's why the bulk of the funding is federal, but there's no entitlement to the service in the sense that it doesn't have to start, apparently. If they don't appropriate the money, the state match for the federal money, that it doesn't start. So there's about 1,700 people that are waiting across the state. Our funding situation is such, health insurance will be going up, but we will not be asking for any increase in county funds. This is the 17th year in a row that the rate of $1.78 per capita has not changed. I suspect there's not too many things in the Gage County budget that can say the same over that time period. So it's approximately $40,000. I think it was $928. We sent out a letter, and that's what our request will be for next year. And if you don't have any questions for me, I will turn it over to Joanne for our local report.
Well, I got one more question.
Sure.
Do they ever, I call it, graduate from this or move on, or once they're in it, they're kind of on the list always, or?
What happens is, and I think that's one of the things about, it's a lifelong disability. Developmental disabilities are just there. We help people get jobs, live as independently as possible. But I remember as my sister received supports from this agency for a long time. But as dementia developed and everything, then the needs get greater again. So in the middle part of her life, she lived with very little support, and then towards the end, it was more like it was at the beginning of needing more. Kind of like us. Kind of like us. So,
any questions? Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Your daughter's doing fine, by the way.
She always worries about when you're coming, what I'm going to say.
I don't know why.
Good morning. I'm Joanne Nolting. I'm the director for the Crete and Beatrice program. And your name is?
Sue Brown.
Jacob Brandt, that's correct. We're here to tell you a little bit about our program in Beatrice. We are currently serving people in the Gage County area at various locations. Our main day service center is located at 2315 Centennial Drive, which is located right behind Indian Creek Mall, and we currently serve 17 people at the day service center there. I have listed out for you some of the different job skills that we train at the DSC, and they are listed there for you to see. Jacob can tell you some of the places he works in the community as part of this day services center. You work at Where do you work, Jacob?
World Lawn.
World Lawn, that's right.
Yep.
And you also work at another site. Where's that at? What's that?
Valentino's,
that's correct.
Yep.
And so we have different job sites that we go to. We also have volunteer sites that we go to. And we're actively involved in our community with our day service center. We also serve 23 people residentially. And I have listed out our 24-hour support settings in my report. So if you folks want to stop by our day service center or visit us at our residential settings, please feel free to stop in and say hello. At the present time in our residential services, I've also listed out the job skills that we work with in that area. And we also provide medical supports in that we transport people to their doctors. We also ensure that medical prescriptions are obtained, and if there are any specialists people need to see, we ensure that those needs are met. We also provide transportation services. I like to list out the businesses that we're affiliated with so you know the different connections we have within our community. But my favorite part is actually the last page, which is our highlights for the year. Currently, we have 38 employees in our Gage County area. We have transitioned in the last few years 5 people from BSDC into our services. We're looking at transitioning another individual in the near future. Along with transitioning these individuals, we have a visit from the Department of Justice coming up on Tuesday. And so we're really looking forward to that. We have a nurse that works with us in Beatrice. She is a part-time nurse that assists us with all of our medical needs. We have 5 people volunteering at local community sites, 7 people working at World Lawn on a rotating schedule, and 5 people working at Valentino's on a rotating schedule. What I forgot to put in my report is that we were certified in April for a 2-year state certification. They come in every 2 years. If we're doing all right, then they certify us for another 2 years. So we passed through that. We also had a fire marshal inspection in last fall, and there were no citations. We also had the Department of Health come and visit us, and there were no citations there either with our Beatrice site. So now that I have gone through that, are there any questions that Jacob and I can answer for you?
I want to make sure you're really a big Red fan. Are you a Red fan?
Are you a Husker fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a 9:15 time event. Need a motion to open a public hearing to support and opposition of a class. Let's put the report on file.
Move to put them on file.
Move to put the reports on file. Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Need a motion to open public hearing on a liquor license for the Gage County Ag Society.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Do we have the sheriff's letter? Steve, Lisa, are you here to represent it? I don't think so. The sheriff has received the application for a liquor license presented to me by the Gage County Agricultural Society. It is my understanding this will be for the permanent liquor license designating certain buildings on the fairgrounds to sell alcohol during various events. Upon my review of this application, I have no objections to its issuance. So the sheriff does not have any objections. Is there anyone that cares to speak for or against?
Steve?
Well, I can certainly. Well, I won't speak long about it. Basically, I'm Steve Whitwer. I'm president of Gage County Ag Society. We are changing our liquor license, so that you know, we're asking to change our liquor license from an AK to an IK. We're still going to have the catering portion of it on there, but we've also included other buildings in this change so that we do not have to always come before the board for special designated licenses. For instance, this spring we are having, working with the Chamber and the Tourism Committee, we are helping host the Hog Rally that's coming to, the Hog Rally is a motorcycle group that's coming here to Beatrice for a full weekend, and should bring a lot of neat people here to help the economy anyway. But things like that, so we don't have to always come for a special designated license for our buildings. They're okay. Enclosed areas, so that's primarily what we're doing. One other thing, and I know it's not on the liquor license, but on May the 2nd, we have a neat thing that's been going on for, I think it's the fourth year, is that right, Lisa? Where we host a day on the farm for young people here throughout the county, third graders, where they come and we try to teach them some different things on agriculture. It's a really neat event, so if any of you happen to be free, it starts at 9:30 and I believe it concludes at 1:30. You might want to come out and take a look at what some of our third graders are doing on the fairgrounds and how they're learning about agriculture. So it's a really neat event. And one of the many different things that we do out there in cooperation with, obviously, the Extension Office.
Okay. So. Got a question. Then
yes.
During the fair, you always have a, well, I call it a beer garden then, and this will be
no
longer?
With your liquor licenses, we have the beer garden and where we do serve alcohol in front of the stand. Because those are not permanent fenced-in areas, we have to get a special designated license for those. So we'll have to come to get special designated licenses for those areas. Our buildings that have the permanent walls, you do not have to have a special designated license if you've named them in your liquor license. But that's what the difference is. But, yes, on events where there's no permanent fencing, Myron, we'll have to still come before the board and ask for special designated licenses.
Okay. Question, will these include when you're in, like, the 4-H building or what have you, where this would be a permanent license? Will you have events that are community events, or will these all be adult events?
They are anticipated to be all adult events, except for if it's a wedding reception, I'm sure there's going to be minors there at a wedding, and we've had those there before.
What about graduations? I've been to some high school graduation parties there where they've served alcohol.
That would probably be up. I mean, basically, we cater it. We would have to sell the alcohol before we let alcohol be. I mean, the reason we have alcohol on Gage County Fairgrounds is to make money, okay? I mean, that's very, very plain. So if somebody wants to have alcohol on their with their event, we would probably say no unless we are selling the alcohol at that. And I doubt very much on graduation parties if very many people would do that unless they would have some.
The events you're probably talking about were not authorized by Gage County Ag Society, though, correct?
I don't know what Kathy's
extension,
talking about.
Not the extension building. What's the west building that's rented?
Yeah.
4-H building.
It wasn't the 4-H building. It was the, I think it was the ag building. 3 years ago, I was at a graduation party, and they were serving beer.
Oh, well.
And they said they, because I did ask, and they said they had the blessing of the fair board.
I don't remember that they did have the blessing of the fair board.
Okay.
They may have. I don't know. I don't think so. I was on the fair board at that time, but I don't think they probably had the blessing of the fair board, because the reason we get the liquor license is for us to make money, quite honestly.
But if they don't have the blessing of the fair board, who's supervising those events?
Often we probably don't have anybody from the fair. I mean, we have 15 fair board members, but all of us have other jobs or different things, and so the many activities that we have out there, we don't always have somebody on site supervising it. We sometimes leave that up to the individuals who rent that for us, and we maybe need to be more plain about the alcohol thing. I know we do have the grandstand is being used for a party this year. For graduation, and we've already stipulated no alcohols to be involved with that. So we try to do the best we can with policing it and things, Dennis.
Okay, you know I support the Gage County Ag Society completely. I just don't think when we do community things and with kids involved, and you talk about the third graders and what have you, having those programs out in the country, I think that's wonderful. And using alcohol to support it just is totally against what I believe in. So I believe in you guys. You're doing a wonderful job. I cannot support alcohol in the third grade.
And I understand where you're coming from, and I do understand that. So.
Any more discussion? Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Juergens.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve?
No.
Close. Approved to close.
Oh. Covered himself pretty well, didn't
yeah.
I mean, we were voting on closing it, so. So now we need a motion to approve or disapprove the recommendation on Class IK liquor license for Gage County Ag Society.
I'd make a motion to approve the recommendation.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. In favor, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle.
Oh, hold on.
Against, Denny.
Wrong button.
Wrong button. Byers and Setzer. Approve or disapprove recommendations on special designated liquor license for the Black Crow for an event held at the Heritage Center on April 24th, 2012. And we have... The Gage County Sheriff's Office is fully aware of the applicant's request and intentions to hold this function, and we do not oppose the issuance of a special designated liquor license, and it is in the name of Raymond and Arter and Kate Radigan.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. I haven't looked at the board.
Well, you haven't looked at the
question. So.
Just explain what it's for, I guess, a little bit.
That's the only explanation.
No.
Building name is, you're here. Okay.
Okay. That's right.
I'm Teresa Martin from the Black Crow. This event is for a closed event after hours for the homestead came to us to cater this event. It's for the donors, a donor's appreciation banquet for them for a couple hours to let them look at the new Heritage Center and to appreciate all that they're worked for the upcoming events for the
celebration.
For the
poster.
So we're just asking for this license so that way it's just going to be serving wine, no hard liquor or anything. It's just white wine for just 2 hours for about 100 to 150 of the donors of the area.
And it's for adults, correct?
Adults only.
Any other questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Byers, Setzer, Dorn is, or Lytle is absent. I guess I missed him slipping out. I knew he was going to, so. Okay.
Rex.
Go ahead.
Was that a vote for opening the public session?
There was no
public session on this. Oh, okay.
That was for the liquor license itself. And now we are on approve or disapprove visitors improvement fund grant to the City of Blue Springs for log cabin refurbishment in the amount of $3,092.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. You want to hear about it?
Yeah, I read about it. But I'd like just to have them talk. Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, when nothing was said, so.
The Convention and Visitors Bureau Advisory Committee recommends approval of the log cabin renovation to help promote tourism and Blue Springs. And this is Tom Wolf, who serves on the council.
I'm Tom Wolf. As he said, I'm the council president, Blue Springs City Council. For years, our cabin is set with no use. Nobody being able to see it, nobody being able to do anything. It's in some rundown, needs some repair, needs some TLC. I found out about this grant through Rex, and I applied for it. And Jim has been working with me diligently trying to get this approved. I just handed you a little paper that was just made out yesterday by one of our other council people's wife. In fact, Radar Reedy's wife made this out, and it just gives you a little information about the cabin. In the little square, it tells you when we would like to have the cabin open, what hours, what days. The reason we feel that it'll help our tourism, it'll not only help Blue Springs' tourism, but we feel it would help Wymore also. I would think that once they're in Blue Springs looking at the cabin that we have, they would travel on down, you know, what is it, a half a mile into Wymore to the little park, the railroad park that they have on Main Street of Wymore, the Welsh Heritage Center, and also the school at McCandless Park. So I feel, you know, by your approving this grant, that it would help tourism in Wymore and Blue Springs. There is some other work that does need to be done to the cabin that we did not apply for, and that is the interior work to the cabin, and that is mainly cosmetic, basically going in, wiping out the cobwebs, dusting, sweeping, cleaning up inside. And the Homestead Monument has been working with us and has made some recommendations as to how to preserve the interior of the cabin as well as the exterior work that we have asked for the grant for. If there's any questions, I can answer questions. If not, I appreciate
question, Tom. Matt? Is there any current relatives of the original owners? I know there's some Johnsons from down in that area.
There are some. I'm not sure of that, Matt. I can't tell you whether there's any relatives down there. I really don't know myself. I know Radar Reedy's great aunt was the one that was instrumental in bringing the cabin from its past location to its current location, and that's why Radar has kind of taken an interest in getting this cabin fixed and back up and into viewing condition again. And we do have the Blue Springs Methodist Church women are willing to work with us when we're ready to start cleaning and also to have it open. And they have expressed an interest in manning it for us, again, as they had in the past, to keep it open the hours that we would like to have it open. So,
Danny, Ray Martin was Kent Martin's dad, right? Or grandpa?
Grandpa.
So, I mean, there might be there, Matt.
There could be. You know, like I said, I'm not sure. But the only thing I did know was that Radar's great aunt was the one that was instrumental in getting it moved to the city park. And the way it was moved in on logs. It was actually rolled on logs all the way from the just north of Riverside Farms all the way down the gravel roads and down Main Street of Blue Springs to its current location. It took them 2 days
and
to actually
might
move
point
the
out
cabin.
That Blue Springs was going to be the county seat at the time until it manipulated to Clay County and it moved the district north.
And that is one of the oldest buildings in the county. Our cabin is one of the oldest buildings in the county yet. So.
Yeah, 1857.
And the person that built the cabin, their son is buried at the Blue Springs Cemetery. Their son drowned. He was the first white person that drowned in the Blue River. And he drowned on the south side of the Blue River Bridge, where the island is there on the south side of the bridge. If you would walk from that island north towards where the dam is, sort of, you know, since it broke, there's a hole approximately halfway up. And if you hit that hole, you're going to go straight down, and there's no way you're going to come back up. And that's how this young man drowned.
Interesting.
But in fact, we here a couple of years ago, we had another young man that almost went the same way, but we caught him before he got too far north.
So. I'll make a comment. If I read this right, it says they had two daughters and four sons, and a husband and wife lived in that cabin.
Yeah.
That's
and it's
amazing,
it's a one-room cabin with a loft, you know, so.
It's a good thing we don't all live in these now. There's not much taxable valuation in this thing.
We would like to get this opened again and get it done as soon as possible. Like I said, it'll depend on when I can get the contractors, you know, going. We'd like to do the roof first. That was a recommendation from the monument, was do the roof first and then do the logs and stuff last. So as soon as I can get those going, we'll get her up and done. And I've taken some before pictures, and I'll take some after pictures, and I will forward them to the board if it's approved. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution to set speed limit at 35 miles an hour on Southwest 117th Road from First Street and Ellis North to State Highway 136 and place reduced speed ahead sign 650 feet in advance of speed limit sign.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Resolution number
12-09.
12-09. Discussion. Terry.
I'd like to talk on that. This is the speed reduction sign that will be placed south of Ellis to slow the traffic down going through the, I guess, west side of Ellis coming up to 77 or 136. And there's been a few incidents along there that's required this. Mark Minnelli went down with Galen and looked at this, and he recommended that we would do this. So we're going on his recommendation. I think it's correct.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution to place stop sign in the northwest corner of Section 6, Township 6, North Range 7 East, intersection ahead sign 500 feet east of northwest corner of Section 6, Township 6, North Range 7 East on north side of road.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Resolution number 12-10. Discussion. Vote.
I'll speak a little bit on this. This is, I believe, a mile east of Cortland and a mile north up there in that area. And this, at least our discussion was a little bit that we believe this is close to where that school bus accident was or whatever up there. So this is a signage for that. But the stop sign for that area.
And these are the sign studies completed that we asked for on these locations.
Again,
it's taken a while, but it's been approved by Minnelli.
The township requested that. Then Mark and Galen visited, did the study on it, and Galen's recommendation is to approve it.
The township requested?
No, this one here, I believe, was requested by
this Norris School District.
Norris School District. This one here was, yes.
So I think the townships do a wonderful job, and I just wanted to make a point of that.
And there are, we get requests periodically for stop signs, and whether to the praise or chagrin, I'd just assume they have a lot more stop signs. But some of them do not meet the requirements, and there's a process that they go through to look at this, so it's not as whimsical as a thumbs up or a thumbs down. There is, I forget the name of the manual that they consult on this, but there's actually a science and a study to where a sign goes. So some of them come forward that don't even make the agenda because they don't meet the requirements.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. We had four requests, and one was turned down, you know, by Galen and Mark both. So these other three came up was approved by those people. So,
any more discussions? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution 12-11. To place stop sign in northeast corner of Section 19 and southwest corner of Section 17, Township 6, North Range 8 East. And I don't remember where this one was.
I'll speak on that a little bit, Rex. This is when we closed the road. This is up there by the ethanol plant. It's the south road right outside the ethanol plant. Then you go a mile east, and that's where this is at. When we closed the road so that they could put their railroad trackage in there, the one right outside of the ethanol plant that would go to the east side and around north, that changed the direction of the flow of the traffic up in that area. Now, quite a few people that come from Lancaster County or north up there in that area, they're coming down this 120th road, and then this corner is in the southwest corner of where the ethanol plant's located at, so it's created that traffic flow pattern through that, and we're having a lot more traffic there. And the township requested this just because of the volume of traffic now that has created by the traffic patterns in the area. And some of those, not all of them, but a lot of that traffic pattern is now semis too, so you have a greater, a little bit greater risk there. And there was a lot of concern up in that area about the flow of traffic and the speed of the traffic.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0.
Well, motion to approve.
Oh, I thought we did. No, we did not, huh? Okay. Oh. Need a motion to approve.
Sorry. Second.
By Bauman, seconded by Dorn. Okay. Now we need more discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove EMS agreement with Pickerel.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Committee reports. Building and grounds.
Well, we had a busy meeting and a number of things to discuss. I think we still come back with the same conclusions as a committee, that anything that's major as far as cost is concerned, we do have some money left in this budget to be very, very careful on how we're spending it and what can we wait for in next year's budget, just to make sure that we're maintaining the cost reductions that we as a county board have maintained. So we've talked, we have some sidewalks that need some work and some replacement in places. If there's a liability issue, we will move ahead with those. The Civil War Monument and some possible grant money was brought to us by Dave, and we'll be moving ahead with that as we have the money to do so. And then the landscaping around the flagpole, the east entrance around the transformer, Davey says he can do that, and we make sure that he's not overdoing it. And he's, no, he wants to do it, and so we're moving ahead with that. I got an update on the masonry work on the corner of the jail. If you haven't looked at it, they're doing a tremendous job. We contracted with Van Winkle for that, and that is moving ahead. We received a quote for installing a card reader for our meeting room upstairs. We felt the amount of money that we'd spend to protect us as supervisors was too much, and so we really didn't feel that we needed to put a card reader on that door. We will have a person, Mike Teeter from Nebraska Public Power, who's doing an analyzation of where we're at as far as our heating system and what we had been spending, what we're spending now, to give us some comparisons. He'll have a benchmark study and should be here for the April 18th board meeting. We're checking on getting carpet bids for the treasurer, assessors, and the deeds offices. And so this is what we did on your building and grounds.
Okay. Economic development.
We had a meeting last night with Bob Hemmingson from Smart Solution out at the library. Andy Carruthers, the lawyer for the Economic Development Group, was there. And I'm going to pass around the articles. This was a proposal brought forth by Andy, the Articles Incorporation. Once everybody to look over these will be, we'll try to approve. No. You have 1 week to get back in corrections or whatever to me or to Andy or somebody. Andy's going to visit with Roger and Tobias before these are all finalized. These are the articles of corporation that he's sending into the state so we can do a 501c6. And I wrote just some notes there on the front for you to read about why a 501c6 instead of a C3. The C3s, the government is really getting a lot harder to get a C3 approved. You need to make sure you meet their guidelines anymore. And Andy's not sure that this group would fall underneath that umbrella, so that's why he's going forward with a C6. The only thing he said with a C6 is it's not deductible as a charity item for a business. Now, it still is deductible as a business expense. That's just the difference in the wording or whatever. But if anybody sees anything in these that they question or have concerns about, get hold of Roger, me, Andy, or somebody by the 9th. Because on Monday, April 9th at noon, out at the library, we are scheduling a kind of a thing so that the paper and the radio or whatever can be there, kind of a press thing, so the signing of these articles of incorporation for this.
When is that?
Monday, April 9th at 12 o'clock at the library. we talked, while Andy was there, we talked about the city and the county and the interlocal joint agreement. And like I said, Andy wants to get with Roger this week and Tobias, and so he has a better understanding of it, better understanding of what the county city would like in that interlocal agreement, and so that can mesh, I guess, with the Articles of Incorporation and that kind of stuff, so that we're not doing something that later on we have to change. Then we talked about Bob had a preliminary job thing that we're going to send out, that they're going to send out to start getting applications for the director of this. They appointed a committee of three people to go over that, and I think as far as I, the way I understood it, as soon as these three people review this and have it done and are comfortable with it, then they're going to start advertising for the executive director or whatever, advertising to get in the resumes, and then they'll par that down and do all that. Our next meeting is Thursday the 19th at 7 o'clock again at the library, and the hope is that the bylaws and everything can be done by that time, and they can approve the bylaws at that meeting. And if they also will elect officers of the new group, because once the articles and corporations are done, then it is actually its own group and it's up and running, and then they need to start taking minutes and approving minutes and all of that. So moving forward, it's finally starting. I thought last night after the meeting, I go, we're finally moving forward, which I thought maybe a year ago we'd be there in 3 months, but after last night and some of the things that are some of the discussions, you can see where we're actually starting to get things that we're actually seeing some accomplishments that we wanted to do and or whatever. Bob mentioned several times last night that if going forward that it looks like hopefully by the end of May, early June, that this will be up and running. We also did discuss though about the Carnegie Building, I believe, isn't going to be done until, was it July 25th? July 25th. So a little bit of discussion about, well, we hire executive director, where are you going to have him until then? So the city and the county, they'll be visiting too about that and everything. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
Has a desk.
Don, you got an office, don't you?
Sure.
Emergency management EMS.
I'll give a little update here. We met last week with, or the week before, rather, or maybe it was last week, with Al Burnt. He came down from Neiman and visited with the committee and answered some questions for us about emergency management, EMPG money, and things like that. And very sensical man, very impressed with the information he was able to share. And I think there is a lot, continues to be value in the EMPG program. And as far as meeting the requirements, if I use the word simple, I'm probably understating it. It's a very easy program, very methodical to go through and get everything. So it's a good program. It's easy to comply with those programs. There are standards out there, and he shared those with us. There are some other suggestions he made about looking to be, there's a certification you can get for your program to be certified, and actually the state, I believe, is a certified program. It has a whole bunch of different benchmarks that we can strive for, so that may be something we look at working with Mark on. As far as the emergency management meeting with Mark, then he talked about the storm spotter discussion. There was legislation passed where there are requirements now that the state has for storm spotters. It's just not every person that wants to be a storm spotter. There's liability that the county has. They have to be picked and approved by the county board. There needs to be a selection process, and then we have some sort of liability. There was also discussion about and this is all just in the works of how we pick the storm spotters and what their function is, or the emergency management department, rather. And there was a good discussion about, do we get away with people driving around the county and try to pick people that live in certain areas so that they're not putting themselves at risk or their personal property as far as a vehicle at risk when they're out chasing these storms. I think there's a difference between a storm spotter and a storm chaser. And there's a huge value in a storm spotter. And there, Mark had some good discussions and recommendations about maybe you pick people that live in certain areas of the county that can, you know, pick up their phone and call, and they're right outside their house, and then they have the ability to reach some safety. So some changes in how that storm spotter selection takes place. And a lot of this, the information we received, was actually pushed through the Nebraska Association of Emergency Managers. They pushed this through the state legislature to have standards, and so there's created somewhat of another level of certification needed. So sounds like there's some positive things that will come out of that. Mark's working on the LEOP. That needs to be done, Local Emergency Operations Plan. Let's see. There's a – give us some information. I'm reading Gary's notes here. So give us some information about an emergency management handbook that's online that anyone can get on the NEMA website and look at that. May 20th, there's a training event day at the Homestead regarding emergency management. Let's see. We had a discussion about making sure that we work with the communication center here in Beatrice, because Adams now provides extrication, and so making sure that those lines are drawn on the map of who gets called out and who services which area. So Mark was going to coordinate a meeting of all the affected parties so that that can be worked out, so that when there's a need for extrication, because I think Cortland used to cover that whole area. Is that correct, Myron? And now Adams has the ability to do that. And I think they spill over even into Johnson County. Do they go over there too, or where do they?
They might in a little bit of the area. Sterling has their own JAWS 2 or whatever, but the Adams Fire Department was able to buy some equipment from one of the rural districts up in Lancaster County at a really good cost compared to new for the department, so they were able to purchase that, and that's why they're up and running with this, and they've had training on this already. So,
and then still more discussion with the radios and upgrading those in the highway departments. You know, used to be a difference of opinion of how strong the radios needed to be, and there's a cost in associated with that. So good meeting, long meeting, two good emergency management meetings over the last couple of weeks. So did I leave anything out? Those who were
okay. Any questions? Equalization.
I think we heard the report from Patty. I think let's have an equalization meeting on Friday the 13th. That's a good day, don't you think? Friday the 13th, 10 o'clock for equalization. I can't think of a better day. Friday morning the 13th at 10 o'clock. I think we need to meet and set up some scheduling and what have you.
Okay. Finance.
Let's see, just generally approved, went through claims, working with Roger on an issue that will come up in 2 weeks. Trying to get some ideas about putting budgets together. Tried to contact a few department heads and a few elected officials about not dumping the budget. If you haven't spent it by this time of year, we want to be responsible with that. And it's not one of these, if you don't spend it, you lose it type issues. And so there are some needs within the offices. You know, things wear out. There's some maintenance needs, carpet like Danny talked about, and the desks and basic equipment like that. You try to get you know, three or four times the life out of it, and eventually you've got to replace that stuff. So slowly starting to work at the budget. I know Road and Bridge, we talk about things, a couple vehicle purchases, but of equipment, like we're letting for bids for the dump truck and some of those things that are, again, our equipment gets old and you got to maintain that, but we're still under budget on some of those that we had proposed to spend. So I think we're sitting in a pretty good place right now with the budget. We'll have to keep plugging forward, and as we get into May, we'll start to chip away at that a little bit more. So.
Human resource and employee relations.
I don't have anything on that, but Gary did ask me to report on the insurance committee.
Okay.
We met on Monday with our insurance provider, and it was a really good meeting. Our people are very informative and helpful. They would like to have, and we would like to have, an employee meeting with them to discuss and review what the benefits are that they have, what their coverage is, and also to encourage preventative maintenance, a wellness program with the employees, and how important your regular checkups and all of this is. They've also updated us kind of on what our expenses and billings have been on the insurance, and kind of a preliminary preview of where we're going to be as far as renewal in September.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, I just bring this up. You know, we have a small organization, and we just started an HSA this year, basically high deductible catastrophic. And
the dollars that worked from a family standpoint, what your out-of-pocket for your deductible was basically what you would be paying in a monthly premium. And the thing was, if you had a good experience, you could then put those dollars away and you never spent them. But if you take the regular old insurance program, you put that in there, we had $6,000 going out that just was gone. And now we've switched. Is there any possibility that a public body could offer an HSA? Is that, I don't know. Is that
we do have kind of that with the AFLAC, where they can put money into a savings account to be used. I would think that would be something we could look at. I think that's basically what we have, except that the county is picking up the small things and the insurance company is the catastrophic part, isn't
it? Well, the cafeteria plans are use it or lose it, and yours isn't, correct?
This one, I think my monthly premium for full family is, I think I'm right at $50 or $60 a month, and then my max out-of-pocket is $6,000. And so you kind of roll the dice and you say, well, if I paid my monthly premium before, it was about $450 to $500 a month. It was a premium that was going out the door that was just gone. So now I save that and I bank that, and at the end of the year, if I don't spend it, well, that rolls over, and you can contribute so much a year. And I don't know. I just, it's worked for us at our organization. It's a lot of folks have benefited from it, but I didn't know if that was something we could do.
I know there are some counties that do have HSAs. I think we just have to, look at the pros and cons.
It doesn't work for everyone. Not everyone may want it, but I just, maybe another option.
Yeah, I think that it's a good option to at least look at.
Kathy, question, you talked about the employee meeting then with them. What, any idea when or what time, or can we all come? I mean, I don't know. I just,
yes.
Question.
What they had talked about was having like two meetings, like one at Road and Bridge, maybe this is like at 11, and they would bring lunch for them, and then one here at 12:30 and bring lunch for the courthouse employees or something. But yes, they really want all employees to come.
Understand.
And because we don't have an understanding, or the average person doesn't have an understanding of what is covered and what isn't covered, like an annual checkup or a mammogram or colonoscopy, and all of this is basically covered under our plan, and they want people to use it. Because if things are detected early, then it's a tremendous savings. And like we were talking about getting your eyes checked, a good portion of your, not your glasses, but your eye exam is covered by your by our current policy. And I said, I get my eyes checked when I get to where I can't read anymore. And he's like, but if you are diabetic and you don't have an annual eye exam, you go blind. Because you don't realize the slight gradual changes in your eyes, and you start this bleeding in the back of your eyes. And so they want us to use the benefits that we have out there that they are covering, because in the long run, it saves everybody a lot of money.
I think that's great, because we budget right at $1 million a year for employee benefits and health insurance, things like that. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Law enforcement.
Law enforcement. Guess wasn't here today, but we had a meeting Monday. They've distributed. The last meeting we approved the emergency procedure guide pamphlet, and he's distributed that to all the employees, 100 and some employees. We had Rex read in one of the Nurman magazines about our reserve deputies. Or that they may not be covered for workmen's compensations. We've had discussion with that. Gus has checked into that. And at one of our future meetings, we will need to, it'll probably be on the consent agenda, but we need to have in there that the names down and that they were approved to be a reserve deputy. So then they would be covered under workmen's comp, because there was quite a question on that and probably maybe not covered. The next meeting he's going to put on there the white 2008 Dodge Charger that has gone down. We're going to put that on there for bids to sell that. And then Gus and He's visited with Roger, but they're working to have an app for your iPhone or smartphone that would provide the user similar information as seen as on our website. You'd be able to pull it up. The county, he's reviewed it with Roger, signed off on it. There's no cost to the county, but a lot of the, I call them the younger people that have the phone, that you can go on there and you can pull up the website and find out all that. He updated us too, just like Denny did on the construction on the west side of the jail there. Dave and I went over and visited with them one day, and they're still trying to make sure that we try and find out the exact source of the water. And they're doing some things. They're putting a thin strip of metal about five bricks up from the bottom, and they're putting what they call seep ropes in there. So if there is water getting behind there, it'd have a way out. A lot of our problem over there was we got water in there but didn't have a way out. So. Oh, then some electrical work to update the east garage bay. They needed. They've been doing more things out there with that, and in the next budget, we're going to need to get more electrical work done so they can have air conditioning and such out there. Processing lab, yes. The processing lab in the east. They're using that a lot more than they did when they first started, and it's to the point now where they need to be able to have the heat and the air conditioning out there. Oh, then we did visit, too, about there's out in Industrial Park. There's a building out there. He had it one other time on the gen, not on the gen, on our committee, and there's a building out there for lease by, he visited with Deanne Casper's Moon and stuff about that one out there, and he had a drawing of it and what, you know, some savings with different things around the county, and then they could include or have a room to have all of the things we have, some of these other areas around there, we could have an inside facility for them and stuff. He just brought the proposal and the cost and that forward to us, and there was no just discussion on it, and that was all we had on that. But that is something that I know we've talked several times. You know, we had a building in other part of downtown here, and just looking at if there's a cost savings with some department or something, and there's always a concern and a question about the county has a fair amount of vehicles. Mark Mines has some and everything, and then if they get something, if they take a vehicle in on an arrest or something, where do we put them all? And that was, again, just for discussion.
Okay. Any questions? Terry, Road and Bridge.
Okay, to start off with, I think I'll have Matt, where there's some personnel things we're looking at. Maybe have him talk about that.
Yeah, everyone was given a packet here, and mine's right here. They've gone through an interview process to find I guess what I'm referring to is a mid-level administrative person. We'll talk peripherally about this. We can't talk wage or name or anything like that, but we wanted to have this discussion in open so everyone knew what the plans were here. As far as trying to get another person in the highway department to assist Galen, and so he made a presentation during Road and Bridge, and Road and Bridge, we agreed and gave him the okay to contact this person at this particular wage, and I believe everyone has that in front of them, and again, because it is a personnel issue, we'll talk peripherally about it in open, but some of the specifics we can't discuss. Kind of the direction we were going with Galen is this would be a mid-level person to help out in some of those to further support Galen through the transition. Mark Minnelli was involved in the interview process, as was Terry and Galen, and was Nancy involved in that as well?
Yes.
So kind of good, many people sitting around the table asking some good questions. This particular person was the top candidate. Galen has visited with this person, and they have expressed an interest in accepting the position, but we wanted to make sure we ran it by the board here. Everyone could see that, and then we would need to affirm everything in 2 weeks. But it is within the highway superintendent's responsibilities to hire people, and as he brought it to Road and Bridge, we agreed, this seems like the best candidate. There was a lot of people sitting around nodding their heads, felt good about it, but we wanted to make sure we shared this with everyone. So if there are any concerns, please visit with Galen or Terry. But at this point, this is the direction that the Road and Bridge Committee felt we should go.
Okay. Terry?
Okay. also, We have called for bids on a dump truck and a sign truck. Both vehicles were approved in last year's budget for purchase. There's money there to do it. I think it's something we have to do. Both of these, if you saw the sign truck, is in bad, bad shape. It needs to be replaced, as well as the dump truck. We've got one out there that's fairly aged, and this is the time of year we're hauling a lot of gravel and product on the road. So we're calling for bids on a dump truck. The other thing was the at last meeting, the NRD came and requested about boring under roads and all this stuff. Well, since then, we've had a bunch of questions come up, and per Mark Manelli, saying be careful where that little water line is buried, because although it is on private property, you know, if you have to regrade a road or redo a road or the ditch where they're going to access our ditch, make sure that that line is deep enough, because once that line's buried and you have to regrade that road, it's the county's responsibility to move the line then. So Galen has sent people out or a person out to check where this route is. It's not, you know, it's coming up. So as far as a mass permit for them to do carte blanche, what to do, we have to be a little careful, because if a grader ditch is silted in, they put it in 4 feet, they regrade that ditch, now it's only in 2 feet. It's on us to bury it deeper. So we have to make sure it's put where it should be, a little further away on the private property, too, if we need to regrade a road sometime. And they are pumping gravel at A Sand and Gravel. So gravel is being hauled now as we speak. We're a little behind. We're getting caught up. And once again, you know, the board approved last year that every township got an extra mile of gravel. So in this case, it's a good thing, because some of the roads were getting a little bit behind, let's put it that way. And Lisa, did you have anything to say on that?
Sure, I can.
Shower?
Yeah, the zoning will meet next week, and we are very aware of the issues. We have some issues, too. Of course, it was the setbacks on the tower of the preliminary that's come back to us. It's only like 42 foot, I think, where they originally planned on putting the tower from the center of the road, and our setbacks are 75 foot. And our issues were, you know, of course, where the valves would be when they have to make a turn, if it's in an intersection area or where. So they really didn't show us a complete set. So we said we weren't ready to move on anything yet until we get more information. So on our zoning meeting on the 14th, I think Dave plans to be there too. So we'll address that. Do you want me to talk a little bit more about zoning, too? So that's the biggest thing. We do have one thing, a challenge that's come up, something new, is pivot corners. As the incentives in agriculture have come along with just the prices and so forth, we see a lot of guys putting up pivots, or either converting their pivots over from fuel-based to electrical, so needing to get those water sources and so forth closer to the road. And so we're going to be looking at some of those setbacks on, especially when it's just an 80 acres where it's not economical to put it out in the middle of the field. That's one thing that we have come up. In Myron's area, obviously, we still have the issues on the salvage yard and that sort of thing, and we've chatted about grandfather clauses, you know, how and when they start and stop, and the complaint process that needs to take place. So I discussed that with Myron. And I'll just give you a general overview. This is how I see it, or how our board sees it. And Roger, please step in as you want. But when on a grandfather situation of someone that's been in business prior to our zoning regulations and throughout, if you're grandfathered in as the existing at the time that you began when zoning comes into effect, so in intent, if a problem comes up, you can't really move forward until you have a written complaint about that particular instance. And so then you have a process that we can move forward with the county attorney's office and also with the sheriff's office. So then you can go out and take the pictures that you need to, stamp the dates on them. And then at that time, if anything changes within their perimeters, then then there is a grandfather issue that's could be challenged then. Roger.
Basically, if the use is expanded,
subsequent to the zoning, then the grandfather clause doesn't cover that.
Right. And the other thing that is, in 1999, when we first brought zoning in, we thought we would have access to the ASCS office, you know, the microfilms and so forth that were available. They have since then converted a lot of their systems over, you know, to GPS systems and overhead. So a lot of the filmage that we thought if we ever needed, you know, to challenge or Roger to use in the court system might not be there anymore. So you're going on, you know, maps, ASCS maps, you know, to present, but for us to have county access on our own to specifics through the department, you know, the USDA office, they may not be there. So that's the other thing. We do have a variance issue coming up. We have a variance meeting. We do have a setback on a expansion on a livestock, a feedlot up in Myron's area. So it's basically with about 200 foot on a setback. And so that's moved over to the variance committee. So. And last but not least is the livestock friendly. Just update. We are very anxiously awaiting. We're hoping for very good news. And I hope that all of you will check your mailboxes because press is here. So we are asking you to, as we hear, and hopefully it's a positive move, that we invite you to coordinate that activity and that expansion with our May 2nd date. Which is out at the fairgrounds, so if that gets coordinated in, and we'll chat a little bit later. So it's open for options, and I'll chat with you afterwards then. So questions?
I'd just like to make a comment. I thank you so much for the work the zoning board and you, Lisa, and everybody does. I mean, the
sure.
question up there about our differences with the zoning and how that all came in, that we've had a lot of discussions in the past couple months and a lot of talk between the county attorney's office and Lisa and the zoning board about didn't realize that some of these things when we came into zoning with it years ago, some of this the best laid plan, still there's things outside of the ramifications that you didn't realize were there, and Lisa and them have been working really hard on where are we at today and how do we handle it, and that's where we're at today, and Roger's office has really helped too and stuff, but you get a lot of conversation on some of these things.
And you would agree, I think, Roger, that you have to have a written complaint to come in. You can't just have that call them up, I'm mad, you know, to go really send somebody up out to start taking pictures and send the sheriff's office out to take pictures to actually substantiate the date of grandfather challenge. So
absolutely. So. May 2nd, the third grader.
Yes, I'll share.
That's our board date.
We're hoping that you'll join us for lunch. If anything, I brought some flyers, but it's really a hands-on learning opportunity. And if we are designated and the turnaround happens, it would be an opportunity to really promote agriculture, especially with our youth and so forth. So I'll give you a flyer on that. But please put it on. Please plan on joining the kids for lunch. And it's a quickie. I mean, it doesn't take a long time.
Peanut butter and jelly, or what are we?
Ham.
There you go. Peanuts come from the ground, don't they?
Denny's bringing donuts that day.
You bet. That's a Chihuahua the cow.
I send it so there's a record.
It's cheaper to let It's cheaper to let your phone ring at this meeting than a committee meeting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no record. Cheers. Information.
Cheers. Thank you.
Can we keep the agenda light?
18th or May 2nd?
May 2nd, yeah.
Keep the agenda light on May 2nd so we can...
If there's... Do what we need to, I just...
I said, do we have to have one?
Anything else, Lisa?
No, just
always
wait till after you
convene.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Hey, Lisa, I didn't get one.
You can get you one on purpose.
Yeah, that could be. Don. Can run me one.
I'll make copies.
There we go. That's all I want, just so the reminder.
You have a photographic memory. Just convert it. Just look at
it. I do, don't I?
JPEG, why don't you?
Okay. Terry, anything else for Road and Bridge?
I think that pretty well sums it.
Okay. FOP, which is there at 10:30?
10:45, I believe.
10:45, and I think it's just going to be a discussion.
No, I'm not sure.
No, it's upstairs. It's upstairs.
Cell block, which one?
Cell block C.
And I would like just a very short executive session to discuss personnel, which could lead to litigation, and that will not take long. It's just an update of information is all it is.
For the protection
of the public interest or for the protection of the needless injury to the reputation of individuals if such individuals is not requested a public meeting.
Gary's on that. FOP.
So moved.
Yeah.
Second. Moved by Byer, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve.
I'll just briefly.
Thank you. Bye. Need a motion to come out of executive session.
I'll move.
Moved by Bauman. Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Anything else for the good of order? Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10:45.
It's you, me, and Lytle.
I got a copy.
We don't need to do anything.
No, it's you, Gary Wright.